Welcome to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. Over the past 20 years, I've worked in beauty, luxury, corporate, and service-driven industries. I created the opportunity in these careers and in my own businesses that allowed me to travel the world, experience once-in-a-lifetime events, and build brands while providing my expertise to clients all around the globe. Life is short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. If you are ready to take your business and life to that next level you deserve to be at, this is the show for you. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today. Tune in every week to hear from myself, other entrepreneurs, professional patients, small business owners, and fellow podcasters who will be featured on the show. I'm here to remind you to work hard, share your story, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today's episode starts now. Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new show. Today I have my friend Christopher with us and we're talking all about LinkedIn and podcasting. Christopher, welcome to the Happy Workaholic Podcast.
Kelly, thank you so much. When I first heard about your story, I had to learn more. And the more I've gotten to know you, the more impressed I am by your work ethic and your crazy organizational skills.
Thank you for saying that, because that's one question I love asking all of my guests. So you guys, you know how passionate I am about LinkedIn, and that's how Christopher and I met. And he sent me a message on LinkedIn all about his podcast and the series that he's creating. And it was actually a very, very professional message. Now, we all know how I feel about sliding into my DMs on LinkedIn, and I'm getting hundreds of them a day. And it's just not okay how people are pitching. Christopher came out on the other end. And so I was like, yes, I will be on your podcast. Yes, I want to be a part of your series. And we did a podcast swap. So I was on his show last week, and that's going to be airing soon. So I'll put the link in the show notes so you guys can go listen to his show. And then now he's here. So how did you start your career on LinkedIn? How did you start? Well, honestly, like, when did you open your LinkedIn account? Was it like a decade ago? Was it just a couple years ago? How did that start for you?
I set it up in 2008. I was in high school. So I was 15, 16 years old. And I set up my LinkedIn account because I figured it was way easier as a resume holder. I thought it was fun to see myself up there and to call myself CEO of something.
It is so fun. And by the way, you guys, we share the same exact birthday too. So I'm totally aging myself. In 2008, I was not in high school. But I used it as my Rolodex. That's how I started. I was working in private aviation and I was meeting all these jet owners and all these charter brokers and pilots. And I would collect business cards. And I used LinkedIn, I think it was 2007 and 2008, and I would plug in their information and we would automatically connect. So it was like my digital Rolodex. That's how I started using it. Now, fast forward to now owning businesses, and like, what have you learned from LinkedIn being a business owner now? What are some of the things that you utilize on LinkedIn to connect with others for your business?
So I'll rewind back to college for a moment. So I used LinkedIn primarily as that because it was number one in my Google search result when anybody found me, typed my name in. Mm-hmm. So that was instant, like, okay, this is my traffic source. I get to funnel people wherever I want, and it better look good and it better be professional. And the more people that I invite, the more that number, and then I wanted to get to that 500 plus. During this time, I was competing in collegiate hackathons, which is 72-hour sprints where you create software products. So I was going in with ideas and design and user interface knowledge. And I was plugged into a community of extremely bright programmers, hackers, like people that, you know, are computer science, and I'm going to UC Berkeley and UCLA for these competitions. And one day in the Facebook group, this gentleman, this is back before any of this existed, he wrote a simple JavaScript snippet that if you went onto your people you may know section on LinkedIn and you went into developer mode in your Chrome browser and you pasted this into the JavaScript console, it would continue to connect with those people on until you turned it off. And so I did that one day, and I was at 103 connections. I turned it on, left it running for half an hour, and I hit, you know, 650 connections the next day, which opened up a bit of a Pandora's box. Like, how long, you know, should I use automation? Should I not use automation? I thought this was a fun hack. It literally was a hack that someone had created.
That's insane.
I know. It was absolutely crazy. Mind you, this was in 2013, before any tools came out, before people were sending, you know, DM sequences, before any of that. It was literally, there was, I know the exact guy who originated the source code that created the current problem that we have today.
My biggest pet peeve is like, okay, I have this really, I think I was telling you about it, how you have to be really specific when it comes to, and strategize when it comes to updating your profile, or when it's your birthday or you change something, because now LinkedIn will automatically, when you congratulate somebody, it'll automatically go to their inbox. So when I always launch something on my birthday, our birthday. So when I put a new episode out for my birthday, everybody would say, when it's my birthday, they would say, happy birthday. It goes to my inbox. I already have something prepared in my notes section where I copy and I paste. So I say, thank you so much, to learn more, go here. Or thank you so much, download today's episode. So I'm constant. I always have a call to action. I'm very strategic when it comes to things like that.
That's so smart.
However, I put their freaking name on it. Like, yes, I'm saving myself time, money, and energy. It's something I've already prepared in my notes. And I literally copy-paste, like, hundreds of times. Like, my fingers are so sore at the end of the day. But I'm consistently driving traffic to my podcast or my website, which is, or people are at the end of the day hiring me, signing up for my email list, and downloading my show. But I'm putting their name. And that's the thing that people, with all these sales navigator tools, is now I'm seeing the same pitch from all these people. I'm like, at least, like, my biggest thing is, like, manners. Like, you have to respect my time. And then I did a podcast episode on this once where I sat down and I just voice messaged everybody back, like, over 100 people. And
wow.
My podcast stats went up. Because now that they hear my voice, they know I'm real. I'm like, I don't need your shitty message, like, spamming me all day, all night. And everybody's using the same generic template. So it's like, hey, love your profile. Like, at least put my name on it so I feel okay about the spam. Like, let's be real here. Like, but it's just, there's so many of them now. Like, I just ask myself, like, I wonder when I see them all day, are you really getting business from that? Like, are people really answering that? I don't understand. And then I look at their profile, look at their connections, and it's just not real. Like, for me, I'm the same on the internet as I am in real life. And that's the thing that I think really divides us. And, you know, getting on video and recording podcasts, you can really see how a person is. And I want to kind of move into your podcast series now and how we met, but you know, there are a select few. When you get on the mic, you're like, oh my God, this was not who I thought I was talking to. You know, if you don't do your research. So, you guys, I have to share something so exciting with you. So, Christopher is currently, like all day, every day right now, recording, producing, editing for this series for podcasters. And that's how we met. He messaged me. So, explain to us how you're marketing this podcast series and what you're seeing and what you're getting out of and all the things.
Awesome. So at its core, you have to really understand what LinkedIn, and if you want to understand it, Reid Hoffman taught a course on why he really created this. He has the patent on second degree connections, third degree connections, fourth degree connections. So realistically, this was a way to validate that patent. And if you go back to when Microsoft acquired the platform, they opened up a slew of social networking features similar to like Facebook, right? Where all of a sudden it becomes a content platform. There's a gentleman by the name of Josh Fechter that started to open up the written storytelling aspect on LinkedIn in the actual post feed. And when he started to write vulnerable stories about failures that he'd had in business, and it started to change the landscape of what we shared and why we shared it, kind of taking an Instagram approach but bringing it to LinkedIn. And it resulted in millions and millions and millions of followers. I went to go work for him for a few months at his firm in Venice, and he taught me a lot about the writing style and then the technology that went behind how they were marketing for their clients. And it's about understanding who it is that you want to speak to and finding an intent. Mm-hmm. For instance, for this particular podcast series, I went on Sales Navigator. I looked for other podcast hosts in a specific set of industries who also owned their own company in a specific set of industries. And then I also filtered by people that were active on LinkedIn in the past 30 days. That gave me a list of about 2,000. Now, I had to create some kind of message that wasn't going to be too off-putting. And I knew that I had to create the right kind of funnel that was going to largely automate the process, but also feel very personal. Mm. So my first message out on the connect request, I've only sent out about 1,031 at this point. My first message out is, hey, I'm launching season 3 of my podcast where I'm interviewing other podcast hosts. Let me know if you're down. The interesting part about that, let me know if you're down, there's a very personalized aspect to that. Mm-hmm. And it also incites a response. That's also something that you would send somebody in a text message. It's not, hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
Thanks for connecting with me on LinkedIn. Here's everything, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not going to work. It has to be short and personal. Now, the next step was to follow up after the connection request 15 minutes later with a little bit more detail about why I'm doing the season. So 1,000 requests sent. Almost 600 accepted the request. So that is a 60% connection rate. And of those 60%, 92% have replied with yes. And of those 92%, my next message went out where I said, awesome, I'm looking for, because I've already pre-vetted this entire list of people. These are all people that I want to interview. The next message out said, awesome, I'm looking forward to our interview. I've created a page where you can learn more about the season, learn more about myself. And here's the page. Boom, you go onto the page, you see a video of me sharing something vulnerable from my background and my history and showing that, yes, this is a legitimate podcast. I'm doing this for a legitimate reason. Here are some of my past guests that, you know, that have been on the show. And then you click a button. I collect all the information I need in order to have my show notes and to interview somebody. And then they book a link in my calendar directly to that. The interesting part is, I did not expect more than 20 people to really sign up. I wasn't sure what the conversion rates were going to be on this activity. But since I launched it, I had to turn it off because 115 people have booked with me through the end of August. And now I have a whole separate set of problems to solve.
Welcome to podcasting. You know, the one thing that I liked that you said in your very first message to me was season 3. So it shows that you're experienced. Because I don't have time for, like, one-offs. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm giving my time for a show, I want it to be – I do my research. First thing that I love that you had was the video. It shows that you're real, you're authentic, you shared a part of your life. People don't expect that coming from LinkedIn. And immediately I was like, I'm down. And then it makes it – you already – like, this is a thing that podcasters need to know, and I preach this all the time, is that – with any other business, you have to be organized and you have to have your systems in place. However it is that works best for you. You sat down, you got your video made, you set up your Calendly link. I can never say that word, Calendly link. And everything, so it was set up and it's automated. But now you have to record, you have to produce, you have to edit and all of this. But how many, well, you said you turned it off now, right?
Yeah, I literally had to turn it off because it worked too well.
That's amazing. And how is it going? How are your interviews? Are you just blown away by everybody's story?
I'm absolutely shocked because, look, the reason why I really started this is I went on a Google search and I typed podcast demographics, podcast psychographics, more about who people were, and limited information on audience and psychos, you know, who's actually running this. And so I knew that podcasting had changed my life, going from a selfish existence to an existence where I'm including others and sharing their stories. So I thought, maybe it's possible that there's other crazy people in the world out there like me. And you know what? There are. And these are some of the best fucking conversations I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. That's the thing about podcasting is that, you know, you think you know something about somebody's story and then you really start diving in and hearing, like, we all have a story to share. That's something I say all the time. Like, share your fucking story because you're able to help at least one person. I promise you that. Like, I tell my clients that. I tell my friends that. Like, if you feel comfortable, you don't want to be on video, you want to be on audio. Like, that's where podcasting comes in. It's like we get to share the stories of others now, which is even more amazing. What do you have coming up right now? I know that you released a book. Can you touch on why you did that and what it looks like for you right now?
Yep. Here's the book.
Here it is.
Profit. So this is based on something very simple that a mentor of mine taught me. He said businesses are built on profit. And my original understanding of profit was charging $2 and delivering $1 value. Like, okay, you got to keep your margins high. That did not get me far. Very far in business because I was constantly there was a constant imbalance and then I thought, okay, maybe I charge $2 and deliver $2. No, that didn't work either. Then charge $2 charge $1, deliver $2. That's a really fast way to go broke. So instead I had to reframe what profit was. And so the acrostic people, revenue, offering, faith, insurance, time, it came to me in the middle of a Tony Robbins event. I was serving 16,000 people at the Los Angeles Convention Center for an Unleash the Power Within event. And I had come back as a crew member from being a past attendee. And there's something, this crazy tradition at these events where you walk over a lane of hot coals.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the guy that was standing there afterward, after people had done the firewalk, coming back into the convention center. And people are running, like, I'm just standing there. People are running up to me. It's like 2 a.m, running up to me, grabbing onto my arms, high-fiving me, kissing, hugging, like, excited. And then I was able to just start to see people and match their energy. And I just stood there for what seemed like hours, continuing to interact with these people who were now taking control over a new destiny in their lives. And I don't know how to explain this to you without sounding kind of crazy, but they've unlocked a part of their soul that they may have been holding on to for 50 years.
Yeah.
And not doing anything about it. And so this is a crazy amount of energy. I took that energy, wrote the entire concept for the book that night, and now it's in here. It's a journey of getting sober, a journey of addiction, a journey of recovery, and then I've brought some of my best friends and mentors in the whole world into the book as well to share additional pieces. And I wrote the final chapters while I was in the hospital preparing for my son's birth.
That's incredible. And you guys, I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes so you can go buy your own copy. Now, I want to ask you, your focus on LinkedIn was this podcast series, but how are you using LinkedIn now to promote your businesses?
Absolutely. So it's a completely content-driven approach.
Mm-hmm.
I use content to deliver value. People come back to my profile. They find out what companies I'm involved in. They go to those company sites. They fill out the form. I do a sales call with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally understand why people are pitching in messages or they're pitching in content. That is the absolute wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to get you anything.
Thank you for saying that.
I can't explain it any way different. I'm giving real stuff out there. The podcast helps me generate unlimited amounts of content that I can post every single day. Mm-hmm. And it's other people's stories, and I can tag them and tap into their networks. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
And it really is.
It is. People come back to your profile and they visit your profile and you get the inbound connection requests. Inbound is so much nicer than having to go chase down your lunch. Become attractive that people want to work with you. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. And how many, now that you're, you know, you're on season 3 of your podcast, how many pitches do you get a day? I want to be on your show. I want to be on your show. And yet they have no idea who the fuck you are or what you actually do or have never listened to your show. Because again, they're like spamming your inbox like, hey, I love the value of your podcast. I'm like, which episode was your favorite? I literally voice message them back. No response. Like, here's where you can pitch me. It's not through my DM on LinkedIn. Like, to come on as a guest and not even know anything about me and do your research. That's my biggest pet peeve. But don't you get so many of those?
I do. And I'm on this kick of showing love to everybody. And
yeah.
I have an episode that's coming out that is going to rock the world slightly. Her name is Ingrid Green. She is a Black tech startup community leader, bisexual, she says it on the show, in Detroit. And we started out, I reached out to her with my message and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's you know, you have 9,000 followers on LinkedIn. Why would you want me on your show? She's like the host of the, you know, Detroit Black Tech podcast. And she competed in athletic events in Canada's Arctic. I'm like,
oh my God, that's insane. I want her on my show.
I know, because you have an amazing story. And then came this back and forth of argument, and this was right in the middle of when all of the Black Lives Matter protests were going on, and she's looking out her window and she's seeing all these people coming from other cities coming in and destroying Detroit, this what she described as a beautifully peaceful city normally.
Mm.
And what started out with conflict, and we're both calling each other out in the LinkedIn DMs, I'm not going to spoil the entire thing. Eventually she says, well, it doesn't seem like you even would want to do this, or it sounds like a no. And you know what? We kind of called each other out on our bluffs.
Mm.
And so I'm like, let's just book this podcast. Let's see what happens. And we're both coming on like ready to start swinging, right? Ready to start swinging. She's going to take it, you know, she's going to get back at the white guy. I'm going to prove that I'm a good person. And she's going to tell us about Black Lives Matter and what the real problem is. And you know what? This was one of the most amazing individuals I've ever spoken to. She has a heart of gold, a heart for people, a heart for so many good things. And the end ends in us, like, we're like praying together in the end of the episode. And unbelievable. So
that's amazing.
That's been this ride, and that's every freaking day something like that is happening, and I'm not sure what to do with all this. I feel so blessed that this is in my life. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to get to the end of this project alive.
Yeah,
but I'm going to do it. And I'm on this journey.
The joys of podcasting. I know it definitely takes. I cannot wait to hear that episode. You know, and quality content and quality people and stories, I feel like, you know, that conversation would never have come out of Facebook. It came out of LinkedIn for a reason. You know what I mean? And that's why more people need to be on LinkedIn and see, like, what tools work best for you. I mean, for myself, every single one of my podcast episodes gets repurposed as a published post. I'm consistently driving traffic back to my site, back to my show. LinkedIn, I don't have live yet. I really wish I did. And I have a lot of plans in store for LinkedIn because I have to finish one of my series I'm recording too. And it's just insane when you actually dedicate your time, like, even 10 minutes a day to meet one person, just one more voice, just one more story, just one. And now, you know, as podcasters, like, I'm so grateful I have this platform that I get to have people like you on my show and share your story and have other people. Some people have never shared stories before that they share on the podcast because they feel comfortable. Same thing with you, right? You're like, oh my God, like, I'm honored that you would even say this. And then at the end of the episode, you guys are praying. Like, that's unbelievable. Like, that would never happen on a YouTube just one-off video. Like, because they feel comfortable, because you've warmed them up in LinkedIn on Messenger and all of that. Like, I just think it's unbelievable what you're doing with this series. And, you know, podcaster to podcaster, like, and anybody listening that's a podcaster, you know, when you are recording back to back to back, it is so draining. And then it's not just you recording, it's you producing, it's you putting together the marketing, the content, the funnels, everything involved and pushing out your show. You have to know when to take a break. And now I need to ask you, like, what are you doing on your downtime? But you have a newborn baby. So, like, is there any, like, what do you do for your own self-care? Like, to, you know, give yourself time in the morning to, like, set yourself up, and do you take breaks in between? Or are you, like, back to back to back like me and then just do it after? Because it's important.
I have to own the day a little bit.
Yeah.
And that only happens when I'm up super early and I take some time to run. So I'll give you yesterday's snapshot. I was up at 3:45, in the office, 4:30. I was preparing for a 7:30 a.m. call, and I needed those hours in order to make the day mine.
Mm-hmm.
I needed those hours to get the big things accomplished to make the day mine. Now, that's not every day. My normal schedule is up at 5:30, run, and then prepare for the 7:30 a.m. stand-up at the very minimum. So, but it's about setting yourself up with a series of wins in the beginning so that the entire day is about winning. I noticed that if I do the thing where I hit the snooze button a bunch of times on the alarm and I come into the office with a reactionary mindset where, you know, I looked at my text too early or I started responding to people too early, then the whole day is about responding to others. It's no longer.
Oh my God, it's so true.
You know what I'm saying? And if your first action is to take a bit of a mindfulness practice, to meditate, to pray, I like to read the Bible a little bit, and go out and go run, even if it's for 1 mile, it changes literally everything for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It is not apparent the first time you do it. You only start to notice results after a few weeks, and when they kick in, you look back and you say, oh, I get it, it's compound interest. If you leave $1,000 in the bank with 1% compound interest every single year, you can't do anything about it. Eventually, it's going to become $1 million.
It's true. And I did that during the pandemic. I was on a mission to, I didn't want to look back at this time. You know, the only thing we have is time. I didn't want to look back at this time and wish I had done something. So I was on a mission. I did a whole show on this. I became debt free. I booked out a series. I launched a program. I lost a couple pounds, but I think I gained it back, but they'll go away again. And then I just, like, so many, I had a whole sheet of notes of things I accomplished during the pandemic. And something else that I did was this challenge, and it was to hold myself accountable in the morning because I was falling into that pattern, like rolling over snooze. And it does make, it's not a good day after, like when you hit snooze, it's just, it sets yourself up for failure for the day, I feel. And I agree with everything that you just said. So this challenge I did, I would start the night before, how do I want my day to look? So you're always, you know, I'm a huge prepper. I prep my meals, I prep my week, I prep my month, and my whole year is prepped. So why aren't I doing this for myself in the morning? Like, I just fell out of this really good pattern I had. And now I'm back in it. You know, I do my sound bath meditation, I journal, I have my candles, I have a whole morning situation. And I do it at night, too, to set myself up. Like, I even have I close my books at the end of the night. Like, they can't be open when I come into the office. Like, I have to walk into, like, a brand new environment. So I close everything. Like, I close shop the night before. And it's just, like, little rituals. And I feel like as an entrepreneur, somebody running a business and a podcast like you, you have to set these little systems up for yourself because you're so much more of a well-prepared individual for whatever the day holds, whether it's your family, whether it's your business, your podcast, everything. So I love that you shared that with us because I think it's really important for people to know, you know, you have to have these systems in place if you want to be successful. And I'm not just talking about in business, I'm talking about in life. If you are, you know, you're sober, you had to put in the work. That doesn't just come like, okay, I'm going to stop drinking. No, it's a ritual. You have steps to go through for a reason, right? So I feel like it's really important to share, like, it's in life, not just in business, you know?
There's one critical aspect to that, which was probably the main thing that I learned in through sobriety journey, is that isolation kills. It kills your spirit, kills your life. It'll literally kill you. If you think that your problems are unique and that you have to go at it alone, no. This is not true. We need people. We need to share with other people. And in turn, they will help you. You have to be able to receive the help. In turn, they will share their story with you. You'll realize you're not unique. They will, you'll see their story in them, and they won't let you fail. If you get with the right people around you, they won't let you fail. It's going to make you more humble. They won't let you fail. And then eventually, you're not going to let them fail once you realize that there are people out there that are willing to be your safety net and your support net. And this comes with consistency, too. It's not going to happen on the first go around. But when you have that and you have a real support network, people you can pick up the phone and call in your moments of weakness, that's it.
Yeah.
I can't do this alone. I need God. I need people. I need family, friends. And the second I find myself going into the mindset of thinking I can do it all alone and I'm going to do it with my own willpower, that might get me to the top, but it's going to be a lonely existence. I don't want to be lonely.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I love that you said that because I don't really talk a lot about that because I did think I could go through it alone when I was sick. And then I had, you know, when you go through something that changes in life, friends disappear, family disappears, and in my circumstance, they did. And you have a select group of individuals that you can count on. That's when my mind shifted. That's when I knew I had to change my mindset. Like, no, I have support, but it's this group here. And I was going at it alone because I was alone at my appointments. I was alone, you know, following up with all these doctors and all of that. But then once I realized that, I was like, this is different. I do have support. You know, I have support from people I don't even know on the internet now because I started the podcast. So I'm really glad that you pointed that out because a lot of people are still in that mindset. They think they can do it alone. And I've been there. I tried many times and now I'm on the other side and I realize it's so much better when you have community. There's nothing like it. And because I have my hands in so many different projects, I have a lot of different communities, which I'm so grateful for. And it's just, there's nothing like it. And I think that, you know, as podcasters, we have to continuously, you know, share our message and the messages of others, because the more that we share these stories, the more we're able to help so many other humans in this world, because there's so many people looking for so much different type of content. And everyone has it. And the more that you share and the more communities you're involved with, the more people at the end of the day we're able to help, right?
Very special soul, Kelly. You're a very special soul.
I feel the same. I'm so glad that we met on LinkedIn. This was like literally like the stars aligned where it was a LinkedIn message. Immediately we recorded for your show, which was incredible. You guys, I can't wait for you to hear it. It's going, you asked me a lot of questions. You know, after that, I was talking to my roommate and then I called two of my friends. I'm like, he asked me so many questions. No one's ever asked me. And I said, I love that shit because people ask me the same shit all the time. Oh. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I feel like
what are the questions you normally get asked? Like, I don't even know.
Just everything about like being sick and like you want to know me as a person, not my entrepreneurship, not my podcasting. Like we talked about all of that, but you were asking me if I dream in color or like just things. That was the one that said that. I'm like, who asks you that? I'm like, first of all, I actually just started dreaming. And then he's asking me, was it in color? And I'm like, you were asking me really personal questions that I like because some people are too afraid to ask, even though my whole life is on the internet and the show. But most of the time, people are interviewing me for being misdiagnosed, the legal stuff, entrepreneurship, and a lot about business. And they assume they know everything about my personal life, but they don't ask. And you asked. And I was like, I love this.
Second secret?
Hmm?
There's one more secret. There's one more secret to that.
What? Listening?
The first answer that people give you is a pre-recorded tape in their mind.
Oh, yeah.
That they're used to giving to everybody. You have to ask them the question again. Or ask them to tell you more. And then they'll ditch the tape and they'll give you the real answer. But the first answer from anybody is a pre-recorded tape that they tell everybody. And it is sometimes, and I hate to say it, not the truth, but it's a safe version of reality that we feel comfortable saying.
That's true. I mean, I have my script always in my mind. Because people ask the same shit all the time. I'm like, boom, 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 done. But if you really want to get to know me, you ask these, like, really good questions. And you did. So that I can't wait to share that episode with everybody. I'll put it in the comments below. So where can everybody find you? I'm going, besides your LinkedIn, can we mention a website? What do you have up and coming besides this series and your book? That will definitely be in the show notes.
Well, career-wise, during the day, I'm the chief marketing officer of a unified communications company called Monster VoIP, the Happy Phone company. And additionally, I am the founder of a podcast automation platform called Salescast. I want to transform the entire B2B SaaS sales industry, and I want to change how podcasters manage their flows. I think if we create more efficiency in that space, we can share more conversations and make a greater impact. So salescast.co, salescast.co.
Awesome. Christopher, thank you so much for your time. This was awesome.
Your time is so valuable, and I really appreciate you carving out a little piece of your day to listen to today's episode. If you liked this one, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. Listening on Apple Podcasts? I would love it if you would leave me a review on today's show. Your input means so much and also helps me create more of the content you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? You can join us in the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Simply answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself and to get the latest in business, LinkedIn, organizing, and podcasting news, sign up to receive my weekly newsletter at thehappyworkaholic.com. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.